And in the revelation of God, verses 19, or chapter 19, verse 13, and it says, and he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. All throughout Scripture, Lord, you're referred to as the Word of God. And you attested, Jesus, while you were here, that you and God are one. John 10, 30, I and my Father are one. And John 14, 9 through 11 said, Jesus saith unto them, have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father? I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Lord, we're given your word, Lord. And we have seen you through the testament within that word. And we have a sure testimony through the written word, Lord, that you are God. And Lord, how often do we deny you, Lord? How often do we not do what we've been given the word to do, Lord? Strengthen us through these words, now we pray. Strengthen us for your purposes in this world. Because you spoke to us through your Son, Jesus. And he testified that I come in the volume of the book, and it is written of me. He testified that in Psalm 40, verse 7, and also in Hebrew 10, 7, he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, and it is written of me, and to do thy will. You know, the word is in Greek, and it's called logos. And Jesus embodied that total message of the word, Lord, the logos, the word of God. So we thank you. And he made that word, as Hebrews 4:12 says, he made that word sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. And he is discerner of the heart and the thoughts of the mind. Lord, we are subject to your written word. Lord, we have been asked to know it, to study it, and it gives us strength. You said, study the scriptures diligently because you think in them that you have eternal life. It's in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Are we starting to see a picture here? The Lord is the volume of the book. Scriptures are written of them. He testified of the scripture. He testified of his Father. He testified of as he being one with the Father. And scripture was given for us by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. The inspiration by and through the Holy Spirit of God is identified in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter could testify of Peter being in this world because he lived 3 years with him. He walked the steps that Jesus walked in, but not as Jesus. He was a follower and subject to all the sins man are subject to. And in verse 17, it says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Up on that Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John witnessed the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the voice of God the Father proclaiming him to be his beloved Son. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard, and we were with him in the holy mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not of man. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was given unto man to write and document. And they were truths that were self-evident as written in the Word, to know that he is the Lord and he is speaking truth. Pilate asked, "What is truth?" And we may ask, what is truth in this world? The world, at least the secular world, does not know truth. They don't know where it originates from. And that's the problem. They don't know the authority of the scriptures, Lord, and they're not directed to them and in them. And they don't have a spirit of knowledge and wisdom that's given through the word. When you and I, if we ever sit down and we're watching the news, we can really get downtrodden pretty quick if we put any faith in that word. And you're hearing lies and false testimonies throughout. And you don't know where to turn. And then you say, I've got the word. And what a refreshing thing that is. I have the word and to know it. And to be told what's going to happen in the end times. It's not going to catch us by surprise. And it's going to give us hope. So in verse 20 it says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So these words, they're not man's words. Man's word, they would fail us. The word of God speaks truth. A God who cannot lie. Thank you, Lord. So the word says it's profitable also for doctrine. In Acts 18:11. It said, "And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them," and teaching the doctrines of God. We need teachers. We need to hear the doctrines of God, and we need to become more knowledgeable. And as the Bereans, in Acts 17:11, we need to search those scriptures to make sure that what we're hearing is true and so. And in 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." This is how it's done. Through time, Lord, you've given your word to faithful men who have been able to teach others also. So we hear today the words of your truth, Lord, and we're redeemed through the word of God and through the sacrifice that he provided on the cross, Lord, 2,000 years ago. He said he gave the word for reproof. In Proverbs 15, 31 and 32, is the ear that heareth the reproof of life biteth among the wise. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof, he getteth understanding. Can anybody deny that the wisdom that's in this world, in this word, has given you understanding? And I thank the Lord for that wisdom. We have the answers that this world doesn't have. He's provided it for correction as well. In Jeremiah 7:28. And you know, it's not just New Testament, guys. It's Old Testament and New. It's all speaking the word, all pointing towards Jesus Christ. It says, "But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth." We need that correction. We need to know the truth. And being corrected, a wise man will allow himself to be corrected, to know the word, and to follow more closely after God. And thank you for those brothers in Christ that come up to us and tell us of a fault, and that we can receive that. We can receive it joyfully and be repentant, because, you know, we're not beyond correction, Lord. And we are to tell each other, one another, of each other's faults and of our own faults too. Confess those sins, and Lord, repent and pray to God that they be removed. Put it at the foot of God, at the foot of the cross. In Zephaniah 3, verses 1 and 2, he said, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyeth not the voice. She received not the correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God." Man, and even sometimes whole cities are beguiled and deceived because they follow the words of man and refuse to know the word of God. We're a nation in danger, in jeopardy of that kind of failure. Lord, we can pray for this nation, pray for a revival of the word. And I can be encouraged by what I heard yesterday about tens of thousands of people in campuses throughout the nation have been receiving the word of God and becoming baptized. Lord, that's so encouraging that the youth are understanding that they are in jeopardy and they need to know the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We have failed. Lord, but we can still be your light. And you can turn those failures around in us by allowing us to shine your light still. Be a testimony of you, Lord Jesus Christ, to provide still the instruction and righteousness that is your word. In Psalm 119:33, he said, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." We need to finish well. Even though we didn't start well, we can finish well in him. In Colossians 3:16, he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." What a better way to lift up the Lord than singing songs, praising him and lifting him up, that just identify the Lord as your God. And we'll be praising him for 10,000 of years. So we can lift up our voices in song, and we can point to your word, Lord, and know that it's wisdom and it's instruction. So in Proverbs 1, verses 2, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, and goes on in verse 3 to say, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. In verse 5 it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. In verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. In verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Train up a child in the way he should go, or she should go. The word of Jesus, word of God, is absolute love. He is the source and his standard and the goal of all truth and love in this world, Lord. And he invites us to know him, to trust him, and to follow him. He commands us to love him, to love ourselves, and to love one another. He empowers us to live by his truth and to share his love. He promises to be with us always, to the end of this age. In Matthew 28, 20, it says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. And if we turn away, it's of our own doing. He's not failing us. In 1 John 4:16, it says, and we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. It's not based on merit. He loved us and still loves us. And we can't work our way to heaven. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Romans 8:38 and 39, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's faithful. He's true. He's pure love. And he abounds. He's the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And he's the light of this world, and he's shown us the way through that light. 1 John 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Wow, what's that mean? Have you ever been in a dark room? Even a little bit of light gives you the ability to see. And the greater that light, the greater we can see. And if that light is emanating from Jesus Christ, we can see a whole lot. And we can believe it. In verse 6, it said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh unto the world or into the world. But all things in Ephesians 5, 13 and 14 that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give them light. So when we were dead in our sins, we were sleeping. We didn't know. We had no light. As we sleep, our eyes are closed. We're in complete darkness. And he's opened our eyes and provided us light. He's also given us a path to follow. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the path. Psalm 119:105. The word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. No doubt, he's shown us the way through his Son Jesus. And he's unchanging. And he endures forever. You know, I rely so heavily on God's word because he says it better than I could ever say it. He said in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's changed in this world? Has God's word changed? Or have we changed? It couldn't be any clearer. We need to get back to the roots, our roots, the roots of the word that Jesus Christ laid out. In Colossians 1:16 is, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. They're used by God, these principalities and powers. You know, and when I was early reading the word of the Lord, I was always amazed how the Lord used these powers in the world, like the king of Babylon, to bring Israel captive. And that was not a positive thing in my eyes, but it was used for correction, for reproof. And he uses powers in this world for us to know him more, to strive to know him more, even though we're going through that time of correction and that reproof. And I think the end times, for some, it will be judgment. For many, it will be to know him more and see his light more clearly. And it goes on to say, in 1 Peter, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But, I love that word, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. And thank you, Lord. His word is pure. It's amazing that there's no error that's in his word. In Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So the words are pure. The words are preserved, faithfully preserved, and therefore all generations. And Lord, you use the word seven times. They were purified seven times. And I used to be taught that seven times meant, you know, that represented only the King James Bible as the pure word of God. And though I still hold on to the teachings in the King James Bible, I come to understand that seven times means God's word is the completion, his complete word. And we're to know it. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Oh. Is there anybody else to trust? Anyone else we can follow? Anyone else or any other thing that has the words of life, the words of truth? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean on not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. 1 John 2, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Thank you for that truth. And we know all his words will come to pass. And that's stated in Matthew 5:18. It brings forth faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. If you don't have a believing heart, these are just words on a paper. Them that don't know and don't understand and don't trust in the truth of God. I love the acronym for Bible, Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. And that is a truth. And we can also know that that truth will bring us to not the white throne of judgment, but the judgment of, you know, through the book of life. And we are written in that book of life, the Lord said. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and it, we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Thank you, Lord. That's 1 John 1, 1 and 2. And, you know, he said we can know for sure. And he doesn't leave us doubting that his written word is the words of the Father and the words of life. But in 1 John 5, verses 7 through 13, he told us, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of the Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. This record being the Word of God, of course. And it's his record of eternal life to us. The things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's as clear as it gets. When I'm witnessing, I frequently go to these scriptures to give understanding, clear understanding as to the purpose of the Word of God as the Word of life. And that the witnesses of the Son Jesus Christ. And the Word doesn't come back void. It sanctifies us, John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. In Ephesians 5:26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Sanctify means to be set apart for the Lord. And the Lord continuously washes us through his word. 1 Timothy 4:5 says, For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So the importance of prayer in our lives to further sanctify us and set us apart for you, for God's use. And Lord, I just pray for all of us, and me more specifically, that you increase our desire to be with you in those quiet morning hours, to seek you out and to put you forth in our prayers, and to pray for the saints, Lord. Be willing to spend more time with you in reading the word and to get to know you more. I just thank you for your love now. Thank you for the victory that we have, because you have overcome this world, Lord. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have inherited all things. And Lord, we need to put you on the throne, that you would be our God, our Father, and that we should be your sons and your children. You said, Lord, that he which testifies of these things, surely you come quickly. So thank you, Lord, and we say, even so come, Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name, amen.